Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
You better hear what I'm saying to you tonight. Judgment will fall upon a nation who continues to applaud sin, call good evil and evil good. You better come on, somebody. The sins of a nation must be repented over by the church. And if the people of God don't stay in repentance with a repentant heart, what's the world going to do?
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Thank you for joining us again on Revive Radio. Let's begin a new teaching series with Pastor Rogers. This series is taken from a recent Wednesday night Bible study here at Pace Assembly. This is Rebuild Part 1. A study in the book of Nehemiah. Let's get into the message today.
Help me! You call out on the Lord, and you stay in that place of prayer and in that mindset, because Nehemiah is teaching us a leadership lesson that the first thing we do before we get back together is get into a mode of fasting and prayer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me tell you what prayer is going to do. First of all, prayer is dependence on God's ability to work in us and through us. When you pray, you realize, I can't do this without God. I say that every time I walk out here on this platform and grab this microphone. Prayer is the process of preparation for maturing the vision inside of us. God, I don't know what to do. Let me tell you how many times I've said that over the past 60, 90 days. I had no idea. God brought it back to my mind. Earlier part of this year, I was talking with some of our leadership here, and I was telling them, this is before that we ever went into this coronavirus. Nobody really knew anything about it. We're getting these little words in January, and I was telling a group of people, hey, we need to change some things right here in this ministry for Vision 2020 so that we can do this thing over here, because this is going to be very effective on live stream if you'll do this right here. Little did I know what I was even saying. Because now we are completely dependent upon this. You know what does that? Prayer helps you to have vision in the process of preparing for something that you don't even know what you're praying for or even preparing for. The timing of God is perfect. That's the reason why we're not going to do it 1 second before he says and not 1 second after he says. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 5 says, this is his prayer. I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Listen to how he started out. First of all, he starts out acknowledging God and praising his greatness. I want you to listen to me, church, Pace. I'm talking to Paceites here right now. I know I got a lot of other viewers out there, but if you're going to your church, listen to me. This is what your pastors are going to want. This is what God wants out of your life now, and this is what he's going to want the days that the doors swing open. Because as it is said right now, based upon what I'm hearing, is perhaps you can get 25% of your total capacity inside the sanctuary for a service. I don't know that might mean 4 or 5 services for me. I have no idea. I know some of you may not think I can do that, but I can tell you Sunday can happen all day long. All right? So get this right here. When you open the doors and you start walking in the building, don't let your pastors have to teach you how to pray now. Don't let the pastor have to teach you how to praise again. You should walk through the gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Don't wait till you get here to praise his greatness. Nehemiah is teaching us a lesson about how we're to enter into the city. Look at this. Nehemiah uses God's name Yahweh to acknowledge him. And the word Yahweh there is a representation of the fact that God always keeps his promises. So when he said, O Lord God of heaven, Yahweh of heaven. Now, what's the point of this? Humanly, it is an impossible plan to think of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Hey, humanly, it is impossible right now. We don't have a vaccine. We don't even know how to start church back up. Listen, I told somebody the other day, it's much easier to shut it down than it is to reopen it. Reopening now looks totally different. Humanly, it's impossible. But God, that's what he was acknowledging. Nehemiah was acknowledging God, saying, God, you're the one true living God who keeps your promises. So when he said that, he's saying, God, You're not a human that is limited in your capacity. Nehemiah acknowledged God and his omnipotence, his omnipresence, his greatness. He glorified his greatness in the middle of the situation. You need to start now in your prayer life glorifying his greatness before you ever darken the doors of this church. Secondly, in his prayers in verse number 5, he reminds God of his covenant. Now listen carefully to me quickly. I'm hurrying to this end. He says, God, you're the God who keeps your covenant. Now, we know God keeps his promises, but covenants are a whole nother thing. Why did Nehemiah remind God of his covenant? Because, first of all, it pleases God when you remind him of his covenant. Whenever I just say out of my mouth the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I'm speaking of covenant. There was a Noah's covenant. There was Abraham's covenant. There is in the scripture the blood covenant. Listen, he doesn't say the blood promise. He says the blood covenant. A covenant is different than a contract. A contract, one or the other of us can stop that contract and it's over with. But a covenant can never be stopped. When you go into a marriage covenant, No, you can say you stop loving me, but the bottom line is the covenant stands. When Jesus said, I'm going and I'm going to do a blood covenant on the cross and die for your sins, I want you to know, no matter if you hate me, if you're an atheist, whatever you may be, Jesus said, I will never take my covenant of love away from you. What can separate me from the love of God? Nothing can separate me from the love of God, because God will never stop loving me, because he is a covenant-keeping God. That's what Nehemiah was praying right here. God keeps his covenants to 1,000 generations, promises and covenants. He gives us, listen to this quickly, I'm moving. He gives us promises that leads us into a covenant. Okay? Abraham, I promise you I'm going to bless your life. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, here's a covenant for you. I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac, and take him up to the mountain and sacrifice him. And when you do that, hear me, Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you that swear by myself that blessing, God said, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And he says, look up, tonight, when you go outside, when you look up at the stars, there's a covenant in the stars tonight, because God said to Abraham, when you look up in the stars, that's how many descendants you're going to have. And guess what? The stars are still twinkling out there as a covenant from God to Abraham. He said, go down to the seashore and look at the sands of the sea. If you can count all those, pick them all up, that's how many descendants you're going to have. I promise you, I'm going to bless you, and I'm making it by a covenant. And Abraham went through a blood covenant. When you rehearse God's promises, you actually start believing them. That leads you to a covenant. Here's the third thing. Nehemiah confessed Israel's sinfulness. This is important right here, because this is where the church has got to be. Look at verse number 6 and 7. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thy heart and thy eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayers of thy servant. He goes on to say, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against thee, both, listen to this, he says, both I and my father's house have sinned. Listen to this, verse 7. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments or the statutes or the judgments or which thou commandedest by thy servant Moses. Look at Nehemiah. Hey, listen to me now. Don't lose this, because this is the critical component to coming out of this plague, because we're not out of it yet. Nehemiah, when he prayed, listen, Nehemiah does not, it's on your paper, he does not rationalize his own faithfulness before he confesses the sins of Israel and including his own house. Nehemiah had not sinned. But Nehemiah said, God, I'm sorry for the sins that I and my house and all of the nations have committed. Now I'm going to say something. Here we go on the controversial tree limb. The governor of the state of New York, just 1 year prior to this happening, was applauding the fact that they had opened up and legalized abortion to the extent of the child being born. And if you remember, they clapped their hands. And 1 year later, he has the highest death toll in all of the United States. You better hear what I'm saying to you tonight. You might not like to hear what I'm saying, but it's truth, ladies and gentlemen. And judgment will fall upon a nation who continues to say, applaud sin, call good evil and evil good. You better come on, somebody. The sins of a nation must be repented over by the church. Well, I haven't done anything wrong. Are you living? Then, ladies and gentlemen, it takes the church. Judgment must begin at the house of God. And if the people of God don't stay in repentance with a repentant heart, what's the world going to do? Here's number four. We're coming quickly. He asked God for help. Verse number 11. He said, Lord, give me mercy. What was he saying? Nehemiah prayed, this is on your paper, but he also prepared to take action at the right opportunity. He said, Lord, give me mercy. Give me favor with the king. Can't you hear him praying? Lord, give me favor with leaders. I want you to pray for that for me and for other pastors. I just told my pastor friend on the way here, as we are preparing for reopening, I'm going to notify the sheriff's office and the government officials of our community what we're going to do. I'm not going to leave them in the dark. I called them whenever we were going to have a drive-in service, and before the governor shut it all down, we're not able to. Some of you just drove up anyway, you rebellious bunch of people. I'm glad you came. But I'm just going to tell you, we need to work in tandem. And I'm going to call our officials and say, hey, this is what we're going to be doing, because I don't need sheriff's department showing up here, walking through the door, and embarrassing your pastor or embarrassing your church because we've done something that we haven't let them know. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is what he's praying. You pray with me, God, give us favor with our officials. In fact, let them highlight what's taking place. Let me tell you, you should be looking. They tell me it's going to be running during the news time. I don't know, but I cut a short commercial, about 30-second commercial the other day to put on WEAR just to let the community and everyone in their viewing area know that Pace Assembly is praying for them. Why did I do that? First of all, because they invited me to do it. Second of all, ladies and gentlemen, is because in this very critical hour, we need to have the people of our community around this area be looking towards the church, not the government, the church in this hour for their hope and for their future. Come on, say amen, somebody. Listen, it's on your paper. Remember, in the times of crisis, the believer has immediate access to God. Think about it. You don't have to wait till Wednesday night and Sunday. Write it down. Prayer actually opens up our spiritual vision. And I want to say something critical for you here tonight before we get ready to close. Count the cost of unexpected things and unexpected change. There's going to be unexpected things coming. I'm just telling you. Unexpected change that happens. Count the cost. Don't go out and blow all the funds that you got from the government or your unemployment check or whatever it may be. Don't go out there and just spend like you're going crazy. There's so many people that say, you know, I can't wait till this opens or that opens. You better be careful. Be slow. Be prepared to sacrifice into the future. I don't know what it's going to look like, and neither do you. Be prepared. Prayer will help you prepare for unexpected things. Prayer keeps us sensitive to the subtle changes of the Holy Spirit while we're navigating through this deal. This is lessons coming from Nehemiah. In fact, look at this. Nehemiah did not pray for God to rebuild the walls. Write it down. Nehemiah did not pray for God to rebuild the walls. He prayed for the opportunity for him to rebuild the walls. Listen, some folks are saying, God, you come on down here and do it. No, God's going to use our hands. He's going to use our feet. He's going to use our mind through us. Write this down. Nehemiah prayed for opportunities through God. He planned for success in the vision of God, and he proceeded in the timing of God.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.